Spirit Celebration 2017. So we're taking the first couple of months, or weeks and months of this year to really dig into this, to see what God has to say to this particular body about 2017. I'm not saying this is for everybody's church, but I'm saying that this is what the Lord is saying to this particular body. Now, last week, I gave you this process. And the process starts off with deliverance, and then it goes to a word, or you can say instructions, the administration of that word or process. And at this process is when I engage my faith, which leads into conflict and then brings me to the place where I can occupy the promise. Y'all can bring me down a little bit. I'm real hot. So we have deliverance, a word, or you can say instructions, the administrations, or administrating of that word or process. That's when I engage my faith, which leads me into conflict so that I can get to the place where I occupy what God has promised. Now, we really have to talk about this, because a lot of people think when you get saved that the rest of your life is supposed to be a bed of roses, but that is not the case. You have to understand that, you know, you can be led right into conflict. And it's one of the things that, you know, I mean, that when you look at scripture, is that God uses. So we're going to have this shift of mindset where we begin to have this mindset of territorial warfare. And this is when God leads you into conflict for your good and the good of the kingdom. All right, so I'm calling it territorial. You got territorial warfare, where God is going to lead you into conflict. And the conflict is going to be for your good. And it's going to be for the good of the kingdom. Now, what we did is we looked at David last week, and we can see this in the life of David. Because what happened is, in order for David to get the destiny, he had to navigate through conflict. But what we see in this is that there's this place where opportunity and maturity intersect. And that place is called destiny. So what God will do is he will have you in a season where he's maturing you. And then he will bring you an opportunity. And then at that place where maturity and opportunity intersects, it propels you to your destiny. Which means if you haven't matured and then the opportunity comes, there will be no propelling to destiny. So we have to understand that, and this is what we're going to look at today, is that do not despise the season of maturing. All right, because this is what happened with David. David took on the lion, and he took on the bear before he was able to face Goliath. You got it? If David had never dealt with the lion or the bear, he would have never had confidence to deal with Goliath. And if he hadn't have dealt with Goliath, he couldn't have never got to his destiny. So you have to understand that, listen, God's ways, now I tell people, God's ways are higher than our ways. They're different than our ways. We have to begin to adopt the mind of Christ so that we can fully understand what God is trying to do in our life. But just because you're encountering conflict or resistance, that does not mean that you're outside of the will of God. Got it? And that's what Christians do. As soon as it gets tough, the first thing we start saying, this can't be God. No, but God probably all in it, dead on. You got it? So what I got to do is I got to navigate through conflict. I can't be afraid of conflict. I got to navigate through conflict. You got it? So that I can get to where God really wants me to be. All right. So we're going to go a little farther in this this week. So if you will, go to Genesis 37, because what I want to do is now I want to look at Joseph. All right. We looked at David. Now we're going to look at Joseph, because like I said, now if this is a principle or something that is established through Scripture, I need to be able to see it in the lives of those who have been before me. All right, so we looked at it, we saw it in the life of David, so now let's look at it with Joseph, Genesis 37. Genesis 37, everybody know where Genesis is at, right? Genesis 37, we're going to start off with verse 5. Genesis 37 and verse 5. And it starts off, it says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about, and made omniscience to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his what?" All right, now you got to pay attention to what's going on, because this dream that Joseph had was not just some dream he had because he ate too much the night before. No, Joseph had this dream, and this dream came from God. Now, how do we know this? Because at the end of the story, we see Joseph making the statement that you meant this for my harm, but God meant it for my what? Good, so that he can save much people. So when David got this dream, when Joseph got this dream from God, this was actually the word of God to Joseph. This was God's word to Joseph. Now, when Joseph, watch this, told folk what God had told him, it brought conflict into his life. Now, because this is the beginning, right here. Right at the tail end of what's getting ready to happen, it's going to get ready to push him into this conflict. Because right before this, you know, his father told him to go check on his brothers. He told on them. Then his daddy gave him this coat of many colors. They got jealous. Now he has this dream where they're going to have to bow down to him. Watch this. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. You got it? So what happened is when he told them about this word that he got from God, this pushed him or pushed his life into conflict. Somebody say conflict. Now drop down to verse 19 so that we can see this. Verse 18, it says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this who come? This dreamer come." So now they was getting ready to destroy their brother because, watch this, he told them what God said about him. So this is what I want you to understand. When you start telling folk around you about what God has shown you about you, everybody ain't going to be cheering. Okay, come on, praise God. No, everybody's not going to be excited. You got it? So it shouldn't surprise you, you got it, when folk turn on you. You got it? Because you're saying what God said. You got it? Because this word ushers him directly into conflict. Somebody say conflict. Now, let's push forward a little bit, because now, you got it, Joseph's brothers, watch this, throw them in the pit. All right. He was sold into slavery. Come on. Into Potiphar's house. Then he's in Potiphar's house for a while. Potiphar's wife set eyes on him. He refuses her. She lies on him. Watch this. Now he's thrown in jail. Now all of this started. Now he could be at his daddy's house chilling if he just hadn't said anything about that word God gave him. All right, so all of this conflict came, watch this, because of a what? Word. Now, let's pick it up in chapter 41. Because now Joseph is in prison, all right, because of the word. No, I'll tell you, man, we need to change this little mentality we got. You know that, you know, just because we living right, we doing right, you know, everything going to be, you know, easy. No, sometimes, man, you're going to understand that, listen, God is going to put you right in the midst of conflict. But if you will handle it right, you got it, when the dust settle, Come on. Come on, you're going to win. Just like Joseph. Because even though they didn't like that word, because Joseph kept that word, watch this, they ended up bound. No, they did. Oh, the whole thing, if it wasn't for Joseph, wouldn't none of them got saved. He had within his power to kill all of them. You got it? Now, let's what I say, Genesis what? 41, verse 20, let's see, wait a minute, 25. Yeah. Genesis 41, verse 25. So now Joseph's in prison. You got it. He interpreted these other guys' dream. They both of the dreams come to pass. One of them got killed, and the other one got released and got promoted. So while he's serving Pharaoh, all right, Pharaoh has this dream. All right, here we go. Pick it up, verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to what? So now here we go again. Watch this. God is delivering his word through a what? Dream. So what? Now this is what I want you to understand is that when we start talking about the word of God, whether it's when it's talking about a rhema word from God, it can come through several ways. God can give you a dream or a vision. It ain't got to be that, you know, the heavens open up and you hear something or, you know, no, it can be God can give you a dream. Now, let me say this because people get all spooky when you start talking about dream, because I can dream some crazy stuff. And I know that won't God. So number one, when I start dreaming crazy stuff and I know I ain't God, number one, I don't voice it. I don't get up and tell you know what I dreamed last, and it's foolish. I flushed that one immediately. You got it? But God can, watch this, he can reveal to you some things about you and your future through dreams. This is why I tell people that you need to keep your phone or a notepad or something by your bed so that, listen, you can record sometimes what was said in the what? Dream. Because sometimes some of us, we can't hear God because the only time you get quiet enough to hear from God is when you go to sleep. All right? So they shouldn't be ignored. All right? So what did I stop at? Verse what? 25. Verse 26. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years, and the dream is what? One. So now what he's getting ready to do, I don't have to read all this. Y'all probably heard this before, but he's going to tell them, okay, this is what your dream means. So this is what he's going to tell them. This is what your dream means. Now, drop down to verse 33, because this is where I want to get to. Verse 33, it says, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of what? Egypt. All right, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the what? Not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such one as this is a man in whom the Spirit of God what? Is. Now, what I want you to see is I want you to see two things here. All right? You got to ask yourself a question. What saved Egypt? All right? What saved Egypt? Number one, the first thing that saved Egypt was a word. From who? From God. You got it? And God delivered his word through a what? Dream. You got it? Then God gave Joseph the ability to what? Interpret the dream. All right? But that by itself was not what saved Egypt. Because once, watch this, God gave Pharaoh the word and then Joseph interpreted the word, then what had to happen is Joseph had to come up with a plan. Now, the Bible didn't say God came up with the plan. Joseph came up with the plan. Joseph was the one who said, well, now let Pharaoh search out men, set officers, And all it didn't say that God, that's what God told Joseph. Joseph, God gave Joseph a what? A word. But then Joseph had to come up with the what? Now watch this. So if the plan was never put in place, the word would have done Egypt no good. No, you got to catch this about. Now we're talking about our own lives. So now if I get a word from God, but I don't carry, watch this, that word out through a what, plan or a process, then that word does me what? No good. So I can get a word, watch this, and still die in a mess. You got? So what I gotta believe God for now, once I get a word from God, I need a plan, watch this, so that I can carry it out. So Egypt was saved by two things: a word from God, watch this, and then Joseph's ability to administrate that word. Got it? Because if you had the word, but you didn't have the ability to what? Administrate that word or carry it out, that word would have done you know what? Good. Why do you think people who are administrators get paid so much money? When you see people that are administrators in organizations, they make the most money. Why? Because they oversee process. They oversee the process. The system that is producing the money, the administrators oversee. They oversee. So now, what I got to understand is that in my life, administration is important. Because there is a process that is going to help get me to where God wants me to be. So now what I got to begin to do is I got to begin to look at my life so that I can begin to see these things. So hearing a word from God is one thing, but the ability to be able to execute it is another. You got it? So now I not only need to hear from God, I need to be able to what? Execute. You got it? And the church, we've been hearing a long time. But the question is, what do we execute? Because this is when we're going to get the world's attention. When we begin to execute. Because we're saying, this is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord said. But they're not seeing anything because we're not executing anything. Why? Because we don't like conflict. Praise the Lord. Y'all are very excited in here today. Now, so anyone can have a vision for something, but the breakdown comes in how to carry it out. You got it? So just because you got a vision for something, that doesn't mean anything. You can get the vision and you can write it down and you can make it plain. But if don't nobody run with the vision, come on, the vision is never going to come to what? It's never going to come to pass. So, for example, if God can give you a business idea, but the breakdown comes in how to carry it out. I mean, how many of y'all haven't had a business idea about something? And watch this, and it's still just an idea. It's still just an idea because you have not, watch this, got a plan on how to carry it what? Out. So watch this. The idea could have came from God, but it's not producing anything in your life because you don't know how to execute. So what we got to do is we got to know how to execute, man. We got to know how to carry this thing out. When God tells us something, that it just doesn't stay in the word stage. You got it? We got to learn how to execute. Now, business people know that this is where you lose clients and customers. The process of administration or carrying out the plan. This is where you lose people. This is where you lose your customers. This is where you lose your clients. This is where you lose everything. It's right here in this process, right here, of making sure I got a plan, and that plan is being what? Carried out. It's being executed. You got it? In coaching, man, when I was coaching ball, you know, I can work on stuff all week. You got it? We can flip, turn double plays and catch fly balls and do all those kinds of things. And watch this, and the guys, they do it great in practice. But then when it comes Sunday morning, when we got a double hitter, they don't execute anything that we worked on, watch this, Monday through Friday. You got it? So now we lose on Sunday. Not because, watch this, they didn't know how. But watch this, when conflict showed up, come on, they backed up and forgot everything they learned last week. This is the same thing with the life of David. David, watch this, he learned how to deal with conflict watching his daddy's sheep. Watch this, when he dealt with the lion and the what? Bear. So now, watch this, when Goliath showed up, when everybody else was tripping about Goliath, come on, David won't trip him because he know the same plan I executed with them. Come on, it's the same plan I'm going to execute with what? Man, you got to execute. And listen, it's time for you to get the plan off the shelf. Right. You've been talking about it for the last 10 years. And you haven't done anything with it. You got it? It's time to execute. Praise the Lord. Hunt your neighbor and say, don't be scared. Ain't no need. Come on. No, go on, execute. You got it? If God be with you, come on. Do you really believe God with you? Yeah. Now, if you out there doing stuff and you don't believe God with you, I tell you, don't do it. But if you believe God is with you, come on, execute. All right? Now. So the promise is there, but the breakdown comes on the administration side. Now, God just does not want you to get a word, engage conflict, and conquer what's coming against you. He wants you to be able to occupy and expand on what you have conquered. Okay? So now this is what God don't want you, watch this. He don't want to give you a word. Come on, you take that word and you begin to administrate that word. And then, watch this, this word causes conflict in my life that I have to what? Conquer. And now when I conquer, I think that's it. No, because whatever you conquer, what God wants you to do is he wants you to expand on that. He wants you to occupy, but he also wants you to what? Expand. So it's one thing to get the victory. It's another thing to what? To be able to expand on it. All right? The Bible says it like this. It says that, you know, when we produce fruit, it says that he will purge us so that we will produce what? More fruit. So once you get the victory, that's not it. Once you conquered it, that's not it. Now what God wants you to do is he wants you to occupy it and now what? Expand. So watch it. What am I trying to say? There should never come a point in your time, in your life where you think you have nothing to do because you have arrived. No, there's something else to do. No, when you get tired of expanding, then you might as well go and check out. See, because I ain't never saw the word retirement in Scripture. Now, I ain't never seen it. When God retired folk, they died. Okay, Come on. No, you know. When God retired folk, they died. Now, it didn't mean, now this is what it does mean. You can go from operating in one place and operating to a what? Another place. But you never get to the place where you're stagnant and doing nothing. You got it? When you get like that, then now watch this, then you might as well go ahead and give up the ghost. You got it? We're always called to expand. All right? Now, go to Exodus. Exodus 23, 26. Y'all all right? Exodus 23. So just because you got a good job making good money, that ain't it. No, that's it. Well, I'm good now. I'm set now. No, that's not it. That's something else. I got this man. All right? watch this, Exodus 23. Go to verse 26. Exodus 23. I got to get there. Verse 26. And it says, "There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill." Now he's talking to them about when they get in their land. You got it? What he's promised them. Somebody say the promise. All right. Verse 27. "I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people of whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year." Underline that. "Lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiplying against thee. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the what? The land." So God says, I will drive them out little by little until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. You got it? So God said, now watch this. I ain't going to do this thing. Listen. Listen, I know you want it all right now. But watch this, you can't handle it all right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it little by little until you get to the point where you can occupy what I've already set aside for you. Now, this goes against, you know, this contemporary mindset we got, because we want what we want, and we want it what? Now. But God is saying, no, I'm not going to give it to you. This is why the Bible says, wealth gotten by vanity will be what? Lost. Everybody want to hit the lotto. God said, no, what we going to do is because now God is not, see, you got to get God's mind. God is not in this business of getting you somewhere your character can't keep you. Now, see, that's not God's idea. If God takes you to a certain place, he's going to give you, he's going to develop enough character in you that can keep you there. So watch this. If you really want me to put it the way it is, character comes before promotion. You don't get promoted and get character. You got it? You establish character where you are at, and then God what? Promotes. You got it? And this is what folk don't want that. See, they want the promotion, but they don't want no character. They want to still live like they live, do what they want to do, and then they say, God, please bless me. No, God said, little by little. So he says, based off your ability to handle the promise, it's going to be how I'm going to deal it out. Because if I don't, you're not going to be able to handle it. All right? Praise the Lord. All right? All right? Now watch this. Go to Matthew. So what does this mean to me? My ability to administrate where I am dictates my ability to move forward. Got it? So if I'm not handling where I'm at, I can't ask God for anymore. I'm sitting there, I'm praying to God, God, give me some more, and you stressed out with what you got now. Yeah, I can't handle no more. I can't take no more. They just driving me crazy. Well, how God gonna give you some more? If you're capped where you are, how is God going to give you something else? He can't. So my ability to administrate or to handle where I am, watch this, sets me up to get more from God. All right? So if you stressed out about life where you are right now, you ain't got no business praying for more. You complain about the wife, the kids, the cat, the dog, the jaw. You complain about everything, but then you say, well, God, I need some more. That is not how God operates. In the church, we need to start telling folk this. You got it? Now, where am I at? So God desires to give us greater territory, but we must prepare for it. He is not just going to give it to you before you can handle it. Or watch this, do it may ruin where you're currently at. So if God, listen, so if God, if you're not handling where you are, and then God piles some more on top of you, then what it's going to do is it's going to destroy where you're currently what? And God is not, he does not want, he don't want to set us up for failure. He wants us to conquer, he wants us to occupy, and he wants us to expand. All right? So now where I am right now, and how I'm handling where I am right now, if you lying and cheating where you at, if God give you some more, you're going to lie and cheat at a higher level. See, you fornicating in the back of a car and you ain't got nothing. You get something, you're going to be in the holiday. Or whatever. Whatever your choice of whole day, hotel is. Holiday Inn, Holiday Inn. What y'all talking about? Holiday, Holiday Inn. That's what I'm talking about. What's your whatever your choice? No, if you do it. No, this is what I'm saying. If you doing it where you are right now, if God gives you some more, you're going to do it at a greater level. You got it? So now what he going to do, this is what we're going to talk about in a few minutes. So what he going to do is he going to get you to conquer that mess where you are. Why? So you don't take it to where he's trying to carry you. You got it? Now, we're talking about God's way. We're talking about the kingdom of God. This is what we're talking about. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Missy. What I say, Matthew 25, verse 15. Because folk in church always crying for more. Well, if you crying for more, don't be complaining about nothing. The mere fact you complaining where you are disqualifies you for the next level. Because that means you were not handling it. What if you had a company and you were running a company and this person, you came into work every day and every time you saw them, they was complaining about, watch this, the work you'd already given them. All right, and then they show up every day. No, watch it. But no, that's the compound, the thing, they want to meet with you every week about a promotion. Now, come on, would you promote them? If you would, you need to be fired. No, you're not going to promote them. Why? Because they're not handling where they were. All right? So why do you think God going to promote you? Because the Bible says promotion don't come from the east or the west or the south. But promotion comes from who? Lord, where God, watch this, he raises up one, come on, and sets down what? Another. So what I got to be about doing is I got to be about proving to God that I have the character to handle where I'm at right now. So that why? So that now he'll give me what? Some more. Because as far as he's concerned, watch this, by covenant, it already belonged to you. All right? Here we go. Watch this, Matthew 25, we looked at this before. Verse 15, it says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another what? 1. To every man according to his what? Several what? Ability. So he gave, watch this, he gave to each person based off their ability to manage. Which means, watch this, if you can't manage no more, God is not going to what? Didn't give you any more. Did I say you couldn't go out and get it yourself? No, you can go out and get it yourself. But when you do, and you don't have the ability to manage it, watch this, it's coming down. It's coming down because you can't even handle where you are. You know that joke? I'll be like, man, how the man? Joke. I ain't going to say that. But you got, I'm serious. We got to be, listen, we're at the level I'm at right now, there should be no complaining about nothing. If you complaining, you ain't ready for increase. Period. End of quote. What the Bible say? Selah. You got? So I got to stop complaining. Go to Joshua 17. All Joshua 17. Let's go to verse 13. Y'all all right? Amen. Go to verse 12. All right. Joshua 17, verse 12. Got it? It says, yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in the what? Land. So now the Bible said they couldn't drive them out. So now watch this. Whatever you can't drive out remains. No. God drive it out, take it away. God said, no, whatever you can't drive out remains. Okay, I'm going there first. Go there first. Watch this. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but they did not utterly drive them what? So they failed in the conquering stage. This is where they failed. They failed at the stage where they should have been what? Conquering them. They should have drove them out, and they should have what? They should have conquered them. Now, you must succeed in the conquering stage, because if you do not utterly destroy some things in your life where you are, they will prevent you from going any farther. So you can have some things going on in your life right now that you won't utterly destroy. You know, you say, all right, you lying 5 days a week. But now you cut it back to two. You know, you got to utterly what? Destroy it. It don't mean, well, I done made some progress, you know. I ain't lying all the time now. No, what you got to do is you got to destroy what? Lying. I got to stop lying all the time. I got to quit it. You got it? Because now if I don't, what's going to happen, because I didn't utterly destroy it, watch this, if I try to go farther, lying going to eventually catch up with me and going to bring me back down. But if you had a took care of it and conquered it where you are, you could go to the next level and don't have to worry about it setting you back. Trying to figure out the way I can say this where it won't offend folk. I'm just going to say it like this. Here's most people's problem. You won't look big when little got you. Oh, you can catch that, right? No, you won't appeal like you got it all going on. But watch this. When a close examination of your life, it's raggedy. But as long as it looked like to everybody else, come on, I got it going on. So in simple terms, watch this, you won't look big, but little got you. You got it? You won't drive an $80,000 car and live in a $10,000 house. Okay. Say on Bible head. Okay. No, you'd rather have the rich than the wealth. What is a wealth? A wealth is something that increases. A rich is something that what? Diminishes. You drive a car off the lot, it lose 20,000 right then. You know if it's been a car. It's a rich. And ain't nothing wrong with riches, because the Bible says wealth and riches shall be in my what? So God ain't got no problem with you having a rich. But what he does have a problem with is when you trying to look big to everybody else, but little got you. You got it? Where if you miss one check, no, dog, if they don't pay you, you going postal. Serious, doc, because you're going to lose everything you got because you miss one check. Now, are y'all receiving this? Yeah. See, because this God wants to accelerate us.
But there are some things we're going to have to conquer. In my life, and listen, I don't know what you got to conquer. Don't nobody else know what you got to conquer. Only I know what I got to conquer. Now, this is what I'm going to do, is I'm going to put the focus on me and get it off you. You got it? But I got to be real with myself. I was having a conversation with one of my boys yesterday, talking to have a teachable moment. And I said, listen, boy, don't you ever lie to you. No, don't you ever lie to yourself. When you know you ain't all right with something. No, you need to be true to you. You need to be honest with you. Because once you begin to be able to be honest with yourself, you are now able to be honest with other folk. You got it? So we have to change this mindset. You got it? Now what else up at? Joshua what? Joshua 17. Verse 13. It says, yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but they did not utterly drive them what? Out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord has blessed me here. You got to catch this. So now, here's what they're going to say. You haven't even really conquered where you are, but now you're saying, what I got ain't enough. Well, that sounds like us praying. Well, God, God, I really need some more. You need some more? You're complaining about what you got. You supposed to utterly took care of that. You ain't even taking care of that. But yet you asking me for, I can't listen. This little bit ain't enough for me. This is what they were saying to Joshua. Now watch this. Let's look at Joshua's response to them. Watch this. Verse 15. And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself, there in the land of the Pezrites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. So he said, okay, you so big, you got it, and this what I gave you, watch this, that ain't enough, then get up there and get some more land. No, that's too real. No. Why everybody wants somebody else to cut down their trees? Why I need to cut down the trees for you? Joshua said, now watch this. Joshua said, if you want the land, come on, go take it. That's what he said. He said, you want it? Go take it. No, why I got to go fight for you? That's what they want. They want to sit back and want you to go to war, suffer the casualties, and then let them just waltz in. Watch this, with no conflict. Okay, praise the Lord. But someday, somebody going to get this today. This is what, see, they don't want the conflict. They want the land, but they don't want the conflict. You got it? So now what, will somebody else please take on the conflict and then come back and give me the land? No, Joshua said, now this is what Joshua said. Joshua said, no, if you want it, come on, go get it. Tell your neighbor, say, if you want it, come on, go get it. But it's good to be. If you really want it, go get it. Don't expect me to go kill your giants. Don't expect me to go kill them for you. You got it? You go take them on. Now watch what happens when he tell them this. Watch it, verse 16. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. So they still talking about not enough. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. What in the world they got to do with it? That's just, no, that's just, he told them, he said, go take the what? Land. What did they do? Is they start complaining about, watch this, the conflict where they got chariots of iron. That means, watch this, when they go to fight against them, they're going to have to deal with them chariots of iron. You got it? And in their mindset, I can't handle that kind of conflict. So now they see the conflict, and what they do is they, watch this, move from the promise. I wanted it as long as it didn't cost me that. Okay, I'm going to get real with you. You know how you ever been in a store and you walk by something and it look real good? And watch this, you really want it? But then something happened. You flick the tag. Come on. No, you flip the tag. Come on. You see the price. Now, hold up. This is what happens next. You try to convince yourself that you don't want it. I don't want that. What? No, come on, y'all. Y'all know y'all. Come on. You wanted it until you saw the price. Until you saw what it was going to cost you. And then you said, I don't want it. The Bible said all lies go to. No, but this is what happens in life. Watch this. You look at somebody else's life. And you really want what they got. But then when you start seeing how they had to get it, you say, that's all right, man. Listen, I just stay over here where I'm at. You know what? I'm sitting over here complaining. Baby, we all right. Now, and you know, in your heart of hearts, you know you ain't all right. You just don't want to pay the price. So what you do is you stay where you at because you don't want to pay it. Right? And you got to understand, Doc, as far as God is concerned, if you're going to walk in it, come on, you're going to have to do some going and get it. Because Joshua said, listen, that's your land, Doc. Now, then what Joshua going to do is he going to encourage him. That's what God does us. He encourages us. Yeah, you can do it. Hattie, you can do it. You really can do it. I put in you greatness. Don't let what you see hold you back. Anybody, how many of y'all ever been to the Home of Praise? I guess they had them Home of Romans, whatever they had houses. Y'all ain't never been to? Huh. Hey, that's amazing. Yeah, well, they have these nice houses and builders and stuff, and you go, come on, you go and you walk through and you look at the houses. Open house, yeah, open, call it open house here. Open house. Open, okay. Okay. Don't stone them, brother. Okay. Open house, okay. Wrong terminology, but now y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Now, how many of y'all been in them open houses? Come on, I ain't hard-headed. She done told me what I need to say. I'm going to say it. So you go and you look at those houses, man. They look real nice, man. This is so nice. Ooh, this is so nice. All that. And then they tell you how much it costs. And then you say, you know what? What we got ain't that bad anyway. but not this. And if you're okay with that, then you be okay with it. But listen, this is what you don't do. Don't lie to yourself and try to tell yourself that you really don't want it. What you got to do is you got to make up your mind whether or not I want to pay the price for it. You got it? Now, I got to ask myself, is this worth the cost? Jesus said it like this, no man goeth to war without first sit it down and what? Count the cost. So before I even go to war, you got it? I'm going to look at this thing and I'm going to project how much it's going to cost me. Now here's the problem. Most of the time what you project you're going to be short. You're going to be short. So, and this is what they were saying. They were saying, like, I want the mountain, but I don't want to deal with them iron chariots. I don't want to have to go cut down them trees. So now what Joshua got to do, this is what the Joshua do in your life. He got to tell you, watch this, don't focus on the chariot. Don't focus on the trees, but focus on all that space you're going to have once you take them on. Why you want to live all cramped when you ain't got to live like that? Come on. But you're going to have to take on the trees and you're going to have to take on the chariots. Praise the Lord. Ain't nobody happy but me, but that's all right. Glory be to God. Now. So what I say? Verse 1. Let me finish this up. 17. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a what? Great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only. But the mountain shall be, come on, he said, look, dog, we ain't even going to sell it for the lot. Come on, get the whole mountain. Now, you talking about having a scenic view? Come on, the whole mountain, come on. The mountain can be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the what? Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be what? So he says, even though they be bigger and badder than you, come on, you still going to drive them what? Come on, you can't back down. You can't back down. When you look at what you really want in life, and because it looks like it's going to be too big, man, don't worry about that. Even though you be little, you got God with you. Come on, he going to strengthen you to be able to take on Goliath. All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm about done. All right, now, so if you're going to possess it, you're going to have to drive them out. If you want it, go take it, because legally by covenant, it's already yours. Now, when you begin to take more legal territory, watch this, you run into greater conflict. Now, when you decide, I want some more, come on, I want some more, I'm going to have to take on greater what? Conflict. Changes have to occur. You have to begin to change how you do business. All right, now I'm going to explain this and then we're going to go. All right? Say you're operating at the $50,000 level. Okay? This is what you produce. You're operating at the $50,000 level. You got it? But you want to operate at the $100,000 level. All right? Now, in order to get from the $50,000 level to the $100,000 level, I got to look at my processes, and I'm probably going to have to make some changes. Because what I'm doing at 50 is not going to produce the 100. So now what I got to do is I got to deal with this thing called change. Okay, praise the Lord. No, because now watch this. Yeah, because where you at right now and what you're producing right now cannot really produce where you really want to be. What's the definition of insanity? Okay, so why are you expecting for something different in 2017? But you're going to do the same thing you did in 2016. The definition, Webster said, you crazy. You got it? So what I got to do, if I want to produce some more, okay, let's look at something. Let me talk about, but let's look at marriage. You got it? Now, y'all know I'm either going to deal with probably marriage or money. The two M's, the M and M's. You got it? So y'all want to talk about money, so I'm going to talk about marriage. Say you got a good marriage. Marriage good. We really ain't got no problem. You know, we all right. But I know this ain't it. Come on, I know my marriage can be what? Better. Now, in order to get from where I am to where I want to be, a better marriage, I'm going to have to change some of the things I'm doing where I'm at. Because if I don't look at what I'm doing, and really look at it and see where I need to change, even though I desire a better marriage, better will always elude me. Why? Because I'm unwilling to watch. And it amazes me that we can have this expectation of better, but we're unwilling to change anything. Hunch your neighbor and say, you ain't crazy, are you? Some of y'all, I ain't saying that to my... I just asked you, you answer. Now, if you say you're crazy, then you're crazy. I just asked you, was you crazy? You got it? See, because that's what insane folk do. Insane folk think that they can get a different result by doing the same thing. So now, if I'm really looking for God to accelerate me in 2017, I got to really begin to look at what I did in 2016. And what? Change. Now watch this. If you don't want to accelerate, if you don't want to go to the next level, watch this. God will let you stay right where you are. But this is the thing you don't need to do. Don't complain about where you're at. That's all. Don't go to God complaining about what folk doing. No. Just stay right there. You got it. And do what it is you do, but stop complaining. Now, let me give you one more example, and we'll get ready to go. You know, I like farming examples. Because, you know, we grew up, we farm. You got it? Now, say you have a 5-acre lot. And you farm cucumbers, right? Got a 5-acre lot and you farm cucumbers, all right? And that 5 acres of cucumbers is producing $100,000 a year. Got it? Now, you have this desire. Now, this 5 acres is maxed out now. It's yielding everything it can. Got it? You ain't got no more. It's yielding. 5 acres are yielding $100,000. You've been working this land for I don't know how long. I don't care what you do. You cannot get that land to produce more than what? $100,000. You got it? But you have this desire in your heart that you want to get to the $200,000 level. I know God has more for me. I know he has better for me. I when I was producing $100,000, I ain't had number 2 kids. Now I got 5. Come on, I need some more. I tell folk, when you start having kids, that's when you need to believe God for increase. I've always done it, and I've always got it. Now, you do what you do. Some of y'all might be done with having kids, but you still can believe God for increase. All right? Now, if you're married. Okay, let me say that. Joke won't sit down. Man. You keep. Let's just say that. Now, if you already had them, you can believe God for increase. But you can't be a man. They gonna have some more talk. God wants some increase. You can't do that. You got it. Now, so I don't want nobody to get condemned or anything like that. But going back to my example, all right? You got this desire. I know God placed this desire in me. You know what? I want $200,000. But I'm at my capacity over here with the 5 acres. I got it yielding all it can. So now, if I want to produce $200,000, what is the first thing I'm gonna have to do? Ain't that? That just make too much sense. All right, now, when you go out there and you begin to get the, you go out there to get the land, you may encounter some what? Conflict, because watch this, you might not want to pay the price for the what? So now you got to look at the land and look at the price and see, do I want to pay the cost for the $200,000? You got it? Now, it doesn't stop right there. So you negotiate and you get the land. So now, this is what God was giving me this example. But he was saying, this me. That's why I got to look at me. But if you're producing $100,000 over here and you want to produce $200,000 over here, you can't keep the same personnel you got producing $100,000 and think they can produce the $200,000. So now you got another conflict because you got to hire some more folk. Because they can't come up. Jesus, are y'all getting this? So So now you got more what? Conflict. Because now what happens is now when I was used to managing 10 folk, now watch this, I got a break. Listen, I got a good relationship with them 10 folk. You know, they know how I think. They know how I like things. I got these 10. But now I got to bring 10 new in. Watch this, that I don't know nothing about. I don't know who a crook. I don't know who that. You got, so, no, come on. So now I got to go through this whole process, you got it, of getting the right what? 10. Somebody say conflict. Now, once I get the 10, you got it? Now, watch this. I got to get the equipment because the equipment I use on the 5 in the harvest season can't do 10 acres. It's at its max doing what? 5. So now I got to buy something else. Conflict. So now, when you begin to look at all of that and you say, you don't say, I want the $200,000. You say, I thought I wanted it. Because once you begin to look at what is going to what? Cost you. You say, man, I don't even want to deal with all that. So now, watch this. Don't complain about where you remain. Because you cannot get to the next level unless you are willing to embrace some what? Conflict. You got it? You're going to be challenged to do probably what you've never done what? Before. You got it? So now, once I get all that in place, you got it? Now, I have expanded my territory. I'm producing more. Watch this. I got the right people in place. But it just didn't happen, what? Overnight. But now, watch this, I'm producing more, but I got the right people. But watch this, it's taking less effort. But you got to get through the what? So this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about for 2017. But it all starts with me. So this is your homework. This is what I want you to do before we come back together next week. Because the next week, what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to get into, okay, now, how we going to enlarge. Yeah. Now, this whole process that I'm teaching y'all now, this is what I've been going through my own self. See, I've been going with my own self over the last couple of months. See, you cannot get to the place where you can enact anything. You got it. If you don't know what you have to enact, how are you going to do something you don't know what you need to do? All right. Here's your homework. This is what I want you to do. Is I want you to look from where you are and begin to see where God is calling you. All right. Because you got to realize where you are right now, that ain't it. I don't care how good it is. Come on, that ain't it. You got it? But the first thing I got to do is I got to be able to look from where I am to see where God is calling me. All right? And then I got to begin, when we start looking at enlarging, all right, going through this process, administrating like Joseph had to do. Because he got the word. The word is here. Watch this. God wants you to have more. God wants you to have more. He wants you to have a better life. He really does. He want me. He want you. He want all of us. You got it? But what we got to do now is I got to take some time. I got to say, okay, God, where are you calling me to? And then watch this. I got to start planning that thing out. I got to start looking at it. This is where it may cost me some money. It may cost me some time. It may even cost me some relationships. But you know what? God, I want what you said I can have.